Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, May 11th, 2016. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How's it going, Brian?
Pretty darn good.
Awesome. That's what I like to hear. Also, I like to hear Adam Christensen's voice, and he's from the MacCast. How are you, Adam?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Great. I'm glad you guys are here. I'm also glad that Bushel is our sponsor this week, and we'll be talking about them soon. But before we get there, we should probably talk a little bit about the doom and gloom that's in store for the iPhone 7. And the short-ish version, there we go, is that parts suppliers are expecting that Apple is not going to be selling as many iPhone 7s because they're not getting as many parts orders right now. So they're kind of building their own tapestry from the few threads that they have. And I'm really curious, what do you guys think about this?
Well, the parts suppliers aren't saying that Apple is going to sell fewer iPhones. Parts suppliers are saying we're getting fewer orders. And Nikkei took from that that Apple will, Nikkei being a publication in Japan, took from that that Apple will sell fewer iPhones. So let's put the responsibility and blame where it goes.
Right. Okay,
so
fair
enough. The implication is that Apple's not ordering as many parts, therefore they're not building as many iPhones, therefore we feel that Apple is not stocking up the way they have in the past, so Apple must believe that they're not going to sell as many iPhones because they're not building as much inventory, if I'm getting all that right.
Yeah, and I follow that logic, and I think you're getting that right. But I do find it interesting because doesn't this kind of fly in the face of what Tim Cook has previously warned us about related to trying
supply
to
chain?
Yeah, supply chain. Yeah.
Well, so what Tim Cook said was that the Apple supply chain is vast, incomprehensibly vast, and data points from any particular point, and this is a paraphrase on a quote, but any data points from any particular point in that supply chain are only part of the picture. And deriving guesses as to what the whole picture is based on those data points is a fool's errand. And again, that's a paraphrase, not a quote.
Yeah, it's a paraphrase, but I mean, that's really the gist of what he said on more than one occasion, I think, at this point. And it's usually in the quarterly conference call, because this will come up, right, with analysts. They'll ask about supply chain, and he's always kind of said, you really can't trust the supply chain, because you're, like you said, you're not getting the whole picture of what's going on.
But, quoting from Nikkei here, and by the way, Mac Rumors grabbed us before first, so we're in essence looking at both the Nikkei and the Mac Rumors piece. But Nikkei reported that another source said that Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturer Company, it's TSMC, the sole supplier for the latest A10 chips used in iPhone 7, it's iPhone 6S and iPhone 7 chip shipments. Does that make any sense? For June to December period will likely shrink to 70 to 80% of the level reached in the second half of 2015. Now, we don't actually know that TSMC will be the only supplier of chips for the iPhone 7. No one knows that. But that is telling. There's only two places Apple can be going here, Samsung and TSMC.
Well, again, that we know of, right?
That we know of.
In this particular case, the folks who can make processors are on a very short list.
That I know, yeah.
So if there are always leaks ahead of time when Apple is looking at a new supplier for its chips. Right. And the current supplies are coming almost exclusively from TSMC. Right. So TSMC to say that their orders are going to be down, that is actually telling.
Well, maybe that means Samsung is getting more orders.
20 to 30% would be the difference, right?
Right.
I think there's smoke to this fire. Fire to this smoke. I think there's fire to this smoke.
Well, I mean, let's think about this logically, too, though, right? I mean, Apple has seen a slowdown in iPhones, and Apple is usually in a better position when they don't, when they let demand outstrip supply. It usually works out good for Apple, and Apple's pretty good at being able to ramp up supply if demand goes higher. Whereas the inverse, I think, is worse for Apple, right? If they make too many and have too much supply, you know, that's more negative for Apple in the short run when they're launching a new version of a product. No?
Those things may be independently more or less accurate, but when you're looking at year-over-year declines in orders, that's there's something there. I mean, because
right.
You could have said the same thing that you just said. You can apply that to any given quarter, except for, you know, when you compare one year to the next year or to the previous year, those differences mean something. The stuff doesn't happen in a vacuum.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing on why I think the iPhone 7 is going to do better than some people are expecting. And this is just my own personal theory. The iPhone 6 numbers were huge, right? I think they were the biggest for any iPhone that Apple had to date. Correct me if I'm wrong on that.
At that time, yes. The 6S was bigger, barely.
The 6, right? We're talking about the 6, not the 6S.
Correct. When the 6 came out, they were the biggest numbers to date. I believe that the December quarter saw slightly more success sales. But
so a big part of the roll-off and the slowing, I think, comes down to the fact that we've reached a point with smartphone technology. So not just iPhones in general, but, I mean, iPhones, obviously. We've reached a point where there's not a lot of compelling reason to maybe upgrade every year. And I think more people are falling back into a 2-3 year upgrade cycle. So I think by the very nature of the fact that the 6, which would have been 2 years before the 7 will be released, had such huge numbers, I think it's only natural that the numbers are going to be bigger. They're not going to be likely as big as the 6 was, but they're certainly going to be better than what Apple saw for the 6S series. And the question at this point is only how much bigger, and will it counter the decline? I think it's going to go back up, obviously, because the 6S series did not do well for Apple in terms of the numbers. And we're talking like unit numbers, right? And which, of course, affects sales numbers as well. But, you know, I see it going back up a little bit, but it's certainly not going to go to the levels that Apple saw the 6 at.
Well, and don't forget, we now have the iPhone SE in the mix. So that's another model to eat into other device sales.
Yes, yeah. And I think that's a different type of consumer than is buying.
They still use parts. And those parts are still coming from the same people.
Right.
Apple is, if this many suppliers are pointing to a fewer orders from Apple,
right?
For this period of time, it probably means that Apple expects to sell fewer iPhones. I mean, there's just no way around that.
Yes, I mean, I agree to that to a certain degree, but I still also think that part of this could just be Apple hedging their bets a little bit and going, okay, let's supply to the lower end of what we think we're going to do rather than the higher end, and then we can quickly turn around and put in more orders and ramp up if we see demand going that direction. But let's not get caught with a bunch of extra supply if that doesn't happen. It seems to be just the smart move to me based on all of the other things that have been happening with iPhone, right? That you would hedge your bets towards the lower end, not the upper end.
Which I think Apple's just being
smart about it.
And Apple does like to oversell their launch inventory.
So I'm just saying that doesn't necessarily, that means that maybe Apple is, yes, thinking that it's going to be lower. But my point is that doesn't necessarily mean, yes, it will be lower, which is, I think, the route that a lot of people take when they report this stuff. is like they report it almost as a certainty, and that bothers me a little bit.
Brian?
Yeah, I think this is pretty much a certainty. I mean, we have key suppliers here, right? So this isn't, for instance, Largon Precision is one of the companies cited by Nikkei, and they make the iPhone's camera. If they're getting fewer orders, Apple is going to be selling fewer iPhones. This was a situation where Apple was moving to a different supplier, Largon would get no orders.
And so the question is, fewer than what, though? What is the metric that we're year over saying year. Fewer than?
Year over year.
Yeah. In the case of Largon, they specified it was year over year.
Yeah, this is the whole point of the story, is that it's orders for this second half of 2016 are
right.
Substantially short of the orders that they had for the second half of 2015.
Well, okay.
So that would.
Oh, go ahead, Adam. Go ahead.
I was just trying to say that. I mean, so that would imply that we think that Apple is thinking that iPhone 7 will sell fewer units than iPhone 6S.
Correct? Seemingly, yes.
Yeah, I don't see that happening personally.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if Apple is doing like partial orders.
Well, again, I think it's...
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, Brian, in the point that these are certain key suppliers, but I don't know. It seems like more is being read into these tea leaves. But, I mean, if that turn out to be true, then, I mean, that's not good for Apple. I mean, certainly.
To be fair, these are tea leaves. This is how, you know, and this is how industry watchers work. Apple keeps information very close to its vest. So those who are interested in what the biggest company on the planet is doing go to sources of information that are not kept as closely to the vest. So there is certainly a certain amount of tea leaf reading here. Right. I just think in this particular case, the tea leaves indicate that there's a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And that cup of tea is probably going to be weaker than it was last year. How's that for a really extended metaphor?
Well done, sir. Well done. All right.
So one more thing. I got to play devil's advocate to myself. Tim Cook told Jim Cramer specifically that there would be innovative features in the iPhone 7 that would make you the features that you don't know you need. So part of what the Nikkei is reporting is that they're sort of branching out. They're moving away from what the suppliers are saying to looking at what some analysts are saying with the iPhone 7, that it's not going to lack any special features, which is ridiculous, in my opinion. What the solid rumor is that the iPhone 7 will have a similar form factor to the iPhone 6 rather than being the usual change in form factor. Right. There's a difference between having the same form factor and not having any innovative features. And Tim Cook very specifically told Cramer that there would be innovative features in the iPhone 7 that would actually, he did not call it the iPhone 7 because that's not how Apple rolls. But in the next iPhone that you didn't know you need and would make you want to have it. So I don't think Tim Cook is lying to Cramer. There are clearly going to be something interesting in the iPhone. It's just ridiculous to say that Apple's not going to do anything with the next iPhone that's innovative. I mean, Apple has something in every single new iPhone model.
Yeah, that's true. And in many cases, whether or not those new things are innovative is subjective because, well, I think for a lot of people, if they don't see the one feature that they really wanted in the next iPhone, they consider everything else to be pointless and iterative as opposed to innovative.
Yeah, and people are like jaded and cynical and couch potatoes who don't actually do anything themselves, and they look at, you know, like Apple didn't reinvent the moon somehow, so there's nothing. I mean, I don't buy into that look at Apple either.
Yeah. I mean, I talked about this a little bit. There's a lot of, in this day and age, they didn't give me the feature that I wanted, so therefore it's a failure. It doesn't meet my expectations, so therefore it doesn't meet anybody's expectations.
Yeah. Yeah, we see that a lot.
Yes. There's a whole lot of entitlement and very self-centered thinking when it comes to a lot of Apple products, in my humble, arrogant opinion.
I don't think it's just your opinion, because I would agree with that.
I agree as well. You can make it just your arrogant opinion if you want.
Can it be my humble, arrogant opinion?
It can totally be your humble, arrogant opinion.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
Because that's what I said.
Great. Okay, so my take right now is, yep, it looks like Apple is ordering fewer iPhone parts, but it's not time to get worried about the future of the company.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. All right.
This is going to be a rough year. 2016 is a rough year for everybody in all things. I have a friend who has had 5 funerals in 3 weeks.
Holy crap. That's 5 horrible. 5
funerals in 3 weeks. And okay. Then there's that little thing called the elections in the U.S. Okay. You know, what a poop show that is, right? I mean, this whole year, like, this whole year is it's stinking for everyone.
Yeah, it kind of is. Yeah. Although I'm assuming that alcohol makers are going to have a great year this year.
Yeah, and heroin dealers.
Dealers. Oh, my God. Yeah. I think this is totally the point where I should change the subject.
Please save us.
So, we have a sponsor this week, and that sponsor is Bushel. And despite how the rest of your year may be going, Bushel can make it a little bit better, because we all have iPhones, we all have iPads, we all have Macs, and we need to manage all the settings on these devices. And if you have family members that need some help with this, if you're working at a business where you have a bunch of iPhones for employees or iPads for employees, it can be a real pain to keep all the settings for all the devices synchronized the way they're supposed to be. It can be a pain to keep up on what versions of operating systems are on everything. If something gets lost or stolen, it can be kind of a hassle to figure out how to lock down the device or wipe it remotely. And anyhow, so there's all these things that go along with having to manage a bunch of devices, and Bushel makes that easy. What they've done is they've created this simple to use web interface so that you can manage all of these devices that you have. And you can do it in an easy way. It's easy to add more devices into your group. And you don't have to be an IT pro to make this happen. And you don't even have to be rich. All you have to do is have a few minutes of time and maybe a couple bucks, depending on how many devices you have. So I've been using Bushel for a while. Well, like a year now. And I found it to be so handy when I need to like update a new device, or especially with my parents' devices, because they both have iPhones and my mom has an iPad, and I occasionally get the call. I didn't do anything, but my email doesn't work, and I can push typically it's my dad, his email settings back out to him and tell him, try it again. And he says, hey, my email's coming in. Thanks. And so I just accept the fact that my dad will always tell me he has never changed his email settings, and that I will just fix them and everything will be right with the world. So in a manner of speaking, this is like a family therapy tool, because it keeps everyone happy. So I really like it. And if it's working well for me, I'm assuming that means it's going to work well for a lot of other people and that you'll really enjoy using it. So check it out, bushel.com/TDO. And when you go there, you can sign up for a free account. And that free account gets you 3 devices you can manage, no charge. And there's no strings attached. It's just 3 devices for free. Any other devices you need to manage, $2 a month per device. That's it. So even if you have a smaller mid-sized business where you have 15, 20 iPhones that you need to manage, that's still a lot cheaper than the other solutions that are out there. And it's really easy to use. So check it out, bushel.com/TDO. And thank you, Bushel, for being our sponsor. Okay, so quickly before we have to wrap up, Disney, they have killed off their Infinity game platform. And for those of you that don't know what this is, it's this gaming platform where you have to go and buy the Disney character figurines that you want to include in the game. And then you have adventures and tasks that you need to accomplish in the game. And you can mix together characters from different Disney franchises. So you could have, say, Lilo and Mr. Incredible team up to go on whatever the game objective is. And it's been popular-ish, but now it's gone. Yeah. Disney has killed it.
Yeah, the big thing for me and the weird thing about how this went down was when Apple launched the Apple TV 4, Disney Infinity was rolled out as, hey, we are going to have support. Part of the thing, one of the things that you need to make this work is this little mat that you, when you buy the little figurines in a store or something like that, Toys R Us or Target, wherever you get those, you have to bring them, put them on this mat, and that loads them basically into the game environment. And then that unlocks certain, I think, game missions and things that you can do within the game. I never really played it beyond just the demo stuff you could do without the figurines. So I'm not totally up on it. But a big deal was made about it. And then a year later, a lot of Mac fans were upset when Disney said, hey, we're not supporting the new 3.0 like we said we were, because they were doing this big update from 2 to 3. Said, we're not going to support that on the Apple TV. And everybody was like, what? You know, I bought into this platform. I thought it was going to be this thing. I had a lot of people email me in my audience who were pretty upset about it. And then the interesting thing was, is obviously they were already thinking about the program, because this week we find out, oh no, they're canceling the whole project.
Well, I think I'll
spit it out, Brian. Sing it.
So as I was saying, without having stuttered whatsoever, my reaction when they pulled out of Apple TV was that I was worried that this was a reflection on Apple TV.
Right.
And I think that a lot of us felt that way. Certainly there was a lot of reaction on both the Twitter echo chamber and in the blogosphere as well.
Right. That was the implication, that it was technical reasons. The limitations were too much and they didn't believe in the technology.
Yeah, or maybe even that there was an issue with the number of customers they were getting,
right?
You know, but that it in some way reflected on Apple TV. Clearly, that's not the case. We didn't know it at the time, but clearly that's not the case. And clearly, the issue is actually with the platform itself, and that Disney just isn't happy with probably its ROI.
Yeah, this model to me, you know, as a parent, and I was really into it. I really wanted to try this out. But when I got into the platform and kind of looked at the model, I mean, basically the way it worked is to do anything in the game, you had to spend, you know, $40-$50, and not just once, but multiple times, plus pay, you know, $15 a pop for these figurine packs. And it was like, you know, it was like a progressive chase. It felt to me like the physical manifestation of the classic, you know, buy coins, in-app purchase kind of model for games. And it's just something to me as a consumer that isn't compelling. You know, it just feels like you're always in a position of spend more money, spend more money, spend more money, spend more money.
You know,
it's off-putting.
Yeah, I agree. Although the place that this has been successful is with Lego Dimensions, which is it's essentially the same thing, but with Lego, and people seem to be buying this up. They're coming out with new expansion packs every month.
Well, so the comparison I'll throw out for you though is Dimensions is brand new, and Infinity was on version 3. And I think Infinity had really good early success again with the platform as well. But I think what happens with this kind of model is consumers over time, they get tired. You know, after three years, they realize, and that's what really sucks about Disney canceling the whole thing, is the people who have invested hundreds or thousands of dollars into the platform, and now they're left with what? Nothing, really.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean,
point.
They've got the figurines, I guess, and maybe there'll be a secondary collectible market in the long term for the physical things. I don't know, but... You know, so I have to wonder if it's sustainable for Lego as well. So it'll be interesting actually to watch Dimensions and see what they do with it.
Yeah, Dimensions has been around for what, a year now, I believe. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so if it follows the same path as Infinity, yeah, then over the next couple of years we're going to see a decline in popularity, and then ultimately it just gets canceled. But for now, it seems to be doing really well. And I think one thing that's in Lego's favor is that they have access to a lot more properties. And they can even go with Disney properties. Right. Lego makes Disney branded or Disney franchise kits. So maybe they just needed more, Disney needed more mainstream.
I don't think Lego is putting Disney out of this business.
No, I don't think they are at all.
Activision's also active in the space.
Right. They're the ones who do the Skylanders?
Yes.
Which is a similar kind of platform. No, I think this is, I mean, from Disney's perspective, I think, you know, they've always done better off with just licensing their properties. And this was their one... thing. I think you were telling me, Brian, I thought they had more than this, but this is kind of their one platform that they were self-publishing. I don't think they were writing code.
This is their big foray into self-publishing. Avalanche Software does the actual coding. That's a development house, and Disney was publishing it. And this was their big foray into that.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe it was an experiment and they tried it for a couple years and just decided, hey, this isn't a viable, you know, sort of platform for us. So
yep.
It doesn't mean this stuff is going away or it couldn't come back on some other person's thing as a licensed property. But, you know, this is Disney just saying, hey, we're getting out of this side of this business.
Yeah. Hey, I said we were going to talk about this real quick and I realized we went on a lot longer. So we need to wrap up. Adam, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me. As always, it's always fun.
Yeah, it's lots of fun. And Brian, thank you for being here too.
Absolutely, though I had no fun whatsoever.
Well, that's okay. Because
I'm kidding. I had lots of fun. I love being here.
Oh, okay, great. Then that's good too. I was just glad that Adam had fun. That's what really mattered. Bushel, thank you for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, bushel.com/TDO, and check out Bushel. It is just like a killer mobile device management platform. I am so glad that I'm using it. Bushel.com/TDO. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.